and it is 2:59 and time for Arts Live and Local today, November 17th, 2017. Another year, almost gone. Very full year, too. Why am I emphasizing all these galleries? Well, you're going to find out as a matter of fact, I think you're going to find out right now, because my first two guests are from the Washington side of this wonderful Lower Columbia region, from the Peninsula Arts Association. And you have met Betty Lou Krause several times on the air. Am I right? You've been here.
Yes, I have.
You have. And we're going to get the details on Betty Lou's art and where she is now, because she gets around, and so does her art. So, and you brought with you a new person on the peninsula. Will you introduce, please?
I'm Joanne Webster.
Joanne Webster. Have you been here in the area for a while, or you just...
I've been here for just over a year.
Okay.
Came from the East Coast.
Oh, really? Wow. So you've been through one of the wet winters, so...
Yes.
No problem.
No problem.
Okay. And, Joanne, so you've never been on KMUN before?
No, I haven't.
Have you been on radio before?
I have.
Okay. So, Joanne, welcome. Joanne is no longer a KMUN virgin. Thank you for being here. We're delighted. Well, who wants to give me an overview? And then I don't even know what your art form is, so we'll talk to that. And, of course, Betty Lou's as well.
Well, I'm Betty Lou Krause. I'm one of the artists on the tour, but this tour has 12 venues.
Oh,
so this is our 10th annual.
Oh, congratulations.
Peninsula Studio Tour. Yeah, it's been a wonderful event. It's a great time right after Thanksgiving. Wonderful for families.
It's
and
the whole
friends,
weekend, too.
And it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday next weekend.
So 10th annual. And is 12 about what you've been having, or is that more or less, or what?
This is a few less venues than we usually have. I think the max one year was 17, but somewhere between.
Okay, so
there.
For those who live here, you probably know what we're talking about when we say Peninsula Arts Association Studio Tour. For anybody else, if you check your local map of this area, you will see the peninsula right across the river from Columbia River, from Astoria, but it goes long and narrow. So the galleries or the studios are on both sides. Looks like a few more on the west side, but really you've got them pretty well situated all up and down the peninsula, which is why it's good it's 3 days, because it's kind of hard to get to all of those places unless you just like to pop in, take a quick look, and get on your way. But many of us end up intrigued by the work and the artist. And is anybody having goodies or music or anything like that?
Everyone will have goodies.
Okay.
Fun things to eat and drink. And some folks will be demonstrating their craft. Some folks will be, it's their big annual party.
Oh, nice. Nice. Open the house as well as open studio. So why don't I jump over to Joanne? And I'm looking here to see where you are. There you are. Number 11.
Number 11.
Magical fairy houses crafted from nature's materials and repurposed jewelry. Okay, where did you live on the East Coast that you were working from nature's materials? Because out here it's easy, but...
It is very easy out here. And back east, it was not so easy.
Were you doing that kind of work?
I was doing a little bit, but because we don't have the moss and the lichen and all that stuff back east, that part of my repertoire sort of blossomed when I came out to this area.
How wonderful. So you were able to take advantage of your new... Is that What brought you out here? Was that part of it? You like lichen and moss and lots of rain?
Well, I've been coming out here for about 15 years visiting my son, who works at Cape D.
Okay.
And so I knew the second time I was out here that I was going to move here when I retired. And that's exactly what I did.
Wow. Wonderful. Well, welcome. We're delighted to have you here. And it's, did the art, well, he's at Cape D, so you were already focused on the peninsula.
Yep.
Did you know when you were visiting how rich the art scene was, or have you seen it grow? Or?
I've seen it grow, and I knew it as an outsider, but now I'm learning the people and getting to meet people, and I love it as an insider.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, isn't it?
It is.
Now, you're on the south side of this. What does that mean, the PAA office?
So my house and another artist, Deirdre, our houses are not conducive to having open studio. So the PAA has loaned us their office for the day. So we'll be selling out of the PAA office.
Okay, and that's 104 3rd Street Northwest. Of course, it doesn't matter what town. Is that it? Long Beach. Sorry, that whole bunch is Long Beach.
Right across from the dentist company.
Yep. If you happen to know where that is, of course. I highly recommend... Oh, that's funny. It says right on top, not to scale. Please follow the signs. And follow is in big red letters. But I highly recommend you get one of these maps because this will help a lot. And I see you can get it. Will they be open next week at the Long Beach Visitors Bureau, Picture Attic, Ocean Park Area Chamber, and the Bay Avenue Gallery if you're starting at the top of the Peninsula.
It will also be published in the newspaper next week in the Chinook Observer, and you can get it online at beachartist.org or at the Peninsula Arts Association Facebook page.
Oh, boy. No excuse for not having it. No excuse.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, exactly, which is terrific because this is just delightful, and I like the obviously, you've chosen this on purpose. It is Thanksgiving weekend, which means that people will have visitors, and it's a wonderful way to check out the community. You don't have to choose. You get to go to all of them. So, Betty Lou, what are you doing these days, and where? Because you used to be at the Bay Avenue, but that's...
I do still have work at Bay Avenue Gallery,
okay.
But I'll be at my home studio, which is about a mile north of Ocean Park. I think you've been to my house.
I have.
Yeah.
And I remember the ceiling went like this in part of it. That's a diagonal, kind of like an eave part then. And what will you be showing? All of the above?
All of the
paintings,
above.
Paintings, prints, tiles, cards, ornaments, hand silk screened art t-shirts.
Yes.
I haven't seen that before.
Oh, well, Kelly Fresh in Ilwaco is this fabulous silk screener, and she's worked two of my paintings into three and four color screens. And so I have some hoodies, and I have some long sleeve women's V-neck shirts, and one with a clamming scene and one with a forest scene.
Nice, nice. And I'm a fan of Betty Lou's. I've got, as a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, we had the 6x6 folks, and I was not able to make it this year, but in past years, I picked up actually a couple of your pieces, different years, so quite wonderful. And, of course, cards as well. So can you give us I'm looking here, we have metal art. Why don't you give us a rundown, because you know who these people are.
Okay. Don Perry's been with us every year on the tour. He's a professional artist, and he does plasma cutting in metal in all kinds of whimsical, fun, different things that can go inside or outside. There's fish, there's signs, all sorts of stuff. And I'm just a little south of him. And then nearby, Carol Couch with Judy Cox and Nancy Myrick. Mm-hmm. So they have a big party every year, the three of them. And Carol is a watercolor painter and instructor. Judy does this delicate iris folding, this really unusual paper folding, and makes cards and framed prints from that.
Iris, not meaning the flower.
Meaning the iris of a camera. So it goes out from the center in these little colored folds.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Really interesting. You have to come and see it.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy Myrick is a wonderful photographer. She'll have lots of her work, whether nature and life, and trying to get people to ask questions, I guess, is her goal with her photography.
Mm-hmm.
Bay Avenue Gallery. Bay Avenue is pretty awesome. We're featuring Sue Raymond, who is the owner and artist, and lots of people know Sue's incredible, whimsical, crazy birds and fish.
I've got one of those, too, with garlic plant in it. What fun.
Yeah.
Makes me laugh, actually. Even though I've had it for years now, it still makes me laugh sitting right over the sink.
It's awesome. Andrea Weir is a longtime artist, and she's been hard at work. She does, over the years, lots of glass work, but fused glass, stained glass, and she does jewelry, and then she's been painting and doing oils and mixed media, and her studio is
magical.
It's magical. It's just so much color in there and various things. Some really stunning jewelry, too. Oh,
there's a whole bunch of them right there on Bay Avenue.
Right there. Oh,
nice.
And of course, we have the incredible Eric Weigart just up the street.
Watercolors and acrylic and just about everything else. And DVDs. DVDs of what?
Of painting instruction.
Oh.
DVDs of painting instruction and a brand new book.
Oh, great. Yeah.
He's just published a new book. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Thinking Like an Artist.
Mm. Okay.
Judy McFadden is a lovely woman who creates realistic oils, and she also does some photography. She's just a little south of Ocean Park and off the road a tiny bit. The Hobbit Shop, as we move south.
Okay.
Jim Unwin has this wonderful spot tucked back in the forest, and he's converted a garage into, I mean, you'd swear it's Bilbo Baggins' place. So
nice.
You want to swing by the wood shop and visit with Jim Unwin. He makes really fantastical and interesting wood sculptures from all different sorts of wood, whether it's driftwood or cedar or really.
And I see it says inspired by the Pacific Northwest. So you've got something in common with him, Joanne.
Yes.
There you go. Of course, many of these artists, I know a lot of your art is inspired by the Northwest as well as Alaska and everywhere else you go traveling in the world. Yes.
Yes.
And then we've got
Linda Marsh Linda Marsh was in Ilwaco last year, but she's got a brand new studio. She also offers classes out of there if you're interested in talking to her about that. So she's up on Birch Street. It's kind of in the middle of the peninsula, but there'll be lots of signs to guide you in there.
That's one of the cross streets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she has lots and lots of work. You go across on Cranberry and then go north. She's number 9. You can kind of see it in the middle of the map there.
Oh, I see. It does say Cranberry. Boy, this map is terrific. I mean, I can actually read this map. That's saying something.
Yay.
Okay.
Thank
you. It's big, too. Okay.
The Picture Attic has about 20 or 25 artists now. That's the gallery for Northwest Artists Guild, I think, is what it's called. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's a number of artists there, some you might recognize as well. And, of course, Jean Nitzel, who does all these really cute baby bird pictures and cards of them and originals and prints as well. So have a stop there.
Okay,
and then very close to there
is
Joanne and Deirdre. Joanne's work is kind of mind-boggling. Some of it is actually fabric sculpture, and some of it is these fairy sculptures. I mean, you really feel like you're peering into this tiny little house. There's like little tiny dresses that are three inches long for fairies to wear and little beds for fairies to sleep
miniature work.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
And Joanne, how large are these houses?
Well, I have two houses that are maybe 20 by 30.
Mm-hmm.
And one is a library room.
That's
and one is a bedroom.
Yeah. Okay.
One's a sleeping room for the fairies. And then they have furniture, and I also have furniture separate to sell, you know.
Are the fairies in the houses?
Well, you have to imagine the
they're
fairies.
They're in your mind in the houses.
Okay, gotcha.
That's what I was.
Their clothes are there and their beds are there.
Oh, they just flitted away.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the repurposed jewelry, will you have some of that
as
well?
Yes, I will. I make bracelets and pins out of antique lace.
Okay.
And old buttons, antique mm-hmm. buttons and vintage buttons.
Fun. And who is Deirdre Duell? She's in there with you.
Yes. Deirdre has been a wonderful friend since I've been on the peninsula. She does really nice mosaic mirrors. They're 8x10, basically, mm-hmm. size for the mm-hmm. wall. And she and I are also working on a new thing of making flowers out of plates, you know, dinner plates and salad plates. And you adhere them together, and then they go in your garden on a stake.
Did you show them?
Have you shown them? We haven't shown them yet.
Okay.
But other people make these.
Okay.
So they're out there.
Boy, this is going to be
fun. And they're
fun.
Just fun.
Some stuff I have no idea what they're talking about, but it's going to be fun.
It's going to be great.
And then the last one you've got here is Karen Brownlee. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I know her work as well. I have a small piece of her. I go to a lot of this stuff on mm-hmm. the peninsula. Well, you said it's the 10th annual, so mm-hmm. there's been plenty of time. Karen's doing the, I like this, bright and functional handmade stoneware pottery. I don't know how functional my piece is, but I really like it. And then
she has been doing some mosaics and some really interesting non-functional animal statues that are like crazy cats and dogs and squirrels and things. Really fun.
And she actually is the closest to Astoria. Mm-hmm. But this is, again, an easy way. What would you recommend for a route? Should people go up Sandridge, or should they go over to the Pacific Highway first?
Well, I think they should start on Sandridge and stop by and see Karen.
Right.
And then you probably want to cut over maybe on Sid Snyder and then start hitting things all the way up.
Okay.
There's quite a few on Bay Avenue and then, of course,
right,
a few of us up in the north.
I consider Bay Avenue pretty far north, too. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, and if we have a day like today, it'll be insane. It would be wonderful. But, you know, whatever the weather is, the good news is people can find somewhere to pull their cars off the road. Mm-hmm. And that's another nice thing about having it spread out. There's room.
We have lots and lots of art event signs.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything will be very clearly marked. It's pretty easy just to follow the signs.
Sounds great. Okay. Well, my guests, Betty Lou Krause and Joanne Webster, are here from the peninsula. That would be the Washington Long Beach Peninsula. And next week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock, is the 10th annual studio tour. And it promises to be quite wonderful. Again, you can go to beachartist.org. and find a map, or in the newspaper, or in lots of other places. So take some time. Go over there and have fun, especially if you're not familiar. This is a great way to get to know the peninsula a little bit, too, some of the nooks and crannies. So great. Thank you so much for coming in. And
thank you.
Welcome to you. It's lovely to meet a new person, Joanne Webster. And it's always wonderful to see you, Betty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, speaking of the weather, have a listen.
Well, I woke up in the night in my bed under leaves, and I heard the southwest wind whistling through the alder leaves. As the first drops hit the roof, I told my woman, I believe that we're in for a spell of rain.
Yes, we're in for a spell of rain.
First it started out real gentle, and I thought it was my friend. It's the changing of the season, fall's coming round again. But in Oregon, the rainy season never seems to end. We got rain, 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 rain.
We got rain, 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 rain. We got rain, 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 and it's giving me a pain. It's flowing down the hillside, it's spread across the plain. It saturates the ground, there's no place for it to drain. We got rain, 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 rain. We got rain, rain, rain.
Well, the horses all have rain rot, and my basement is a lake. There's mildew in my hip boots, and it's more than I can take. The only critter looking happy is a green-head mallard drake. I'm about getting sick of the rain.
I'm about getting sick of the rain.
When the hillside gets so wet, then the mud begins to slide. And the river's near in flood stage, and it's not even high tide. Well, if that dike should break, there'll be no place we can hide. And the weatherman says more rain.
Yes, the weatherman says more rain.
Now the fields are underwater, I can't see a speck of ground. Johnson sheep are wearing snorkels, and they're swimming all around. I just saw Jules' herd of Holsteins floating off towards Puget Sound. And I think we may get more rain.
Oh no!
Yes, I think we may get more rain.
Sometimes when it isn't raining and those tourist folks drive by, they say Brown's meat is so lovely, it's so fresh and green, oh my. I believe I'd like to move here. I could live here till I die. I ask them, how do you feel about rain?
How do you feel about rain? We got rain, 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 and it's giving me a pain. It's flowing down the hillside, it's spreading across the plain. It saturates the ground, there's no place for it to drain. We got rain, 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 rain.
Yeah, well, it's true. And if you looked at my field, you would believe it. It's a little scary sometimes, but we're blessed with rain. Everybody's praying all the time for rain. Well, we've got it. And we have gorgeous days like today. Sunny, beautiful days like today. And we also, very fortunately, have wonderful artists in our midst. There's a show going on right now at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery, Clatsop College in Astoria, and I was fortunate to catch Hank Pander, and we're about to hear him now, thanks to Brian. My guest in the studio is Hank. Hank Pander. Is Hank a nickname, or is that your...
It's a nickname. It's actually Hendrik... It's a nickname for Hendrik.
Hendrik,
yeah,
okay.
And that's originally pronounced actually properly as Pander. There's Hank Pander.
Hendrik Pander.
Hendrik Pander. Generally, you know, that nickname, it's a very common Dutch name, actually.
Well, I was going to ask, it's specifically Dutch as opposed to...
It's a Dutch, it's a really very Dutch name. There's a lot of people by the name of Hank in the Netherlands.
So we've already given away the fact that you are Dutch. You're from Holland. How long have you been in
the US? Well, I lived here... I'm a naturalized citizen, so mm-hmm. I have two passports.
Shh, don't be giving away any legal information. You never know who's listening these days.
I don't care.
But we're keeping you here, and you can come and go from this country however you like. I have Hank here in the studio because he has another gorgeous show at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery at Clatsop College, and it opened in October. It is running through the 30th of November. It's a duo show with Ghislaine Frimaux, and the paintings, her paintings are huge and colorful. And I'm going to ask you, Hank, to describe what you've given us on this show, because it is quite different from what I've seen of your work before.
Yeah, it's primarily a drawing show. You know, that's kind of a wonderful combination, me and Ghislaine, because her exuberant sort of big erotic drawings and my somewhat more, you know, austere kind of pen and ink drawing. So it's kind of a really lively, interesting exhibition. My drawings don't really get shown very much because they don't really function very well in the commercial art world. And however, I really love to draw, and I've actually been making drawings throughout my whole life. Mm. And these kind of pen and ink drawings I've been also doing for many years, and started doing drawings with just line when I came to this country and it was the Vietnamese War and I was asked to do like anti-war posters. And so these posters, I used to make ink wash drawings, which were, you know, with grays and tones and all that. They were difficult to reproduce, especially on stolen presses and on the cheap and all that. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I thought, well, if I do it in line, just pure black and white or something with a little ink in it, then they would, and I make them a little bigger and they reduce a little bit. They come out real sharp. They were cheaper to do. And they actually come out like very much like the drawings. And when I started doing that, I also realized that these drawings got a kind of a freshness and sort of a difference from the kind of work I used to do in the Netherlands, which were sort of darkly romantic, somewhat somber. Mm-hmm. And so it also gave a kind of a modernity and a kind of directness to the work. And because of these pen and ink drawings, you have to be kind of flawless in doing them. You can't, you know, they're spontaneous. You can't alter them. They're pure binary. It's either black ink or white paper. It's as close as you can get between the brain and your hand as possible. So it's also kind of showy, because if you do that well, it also shows off your drawing ability. And since I had just moved here, nobody knew about me. I came out of Amsterdam. I also had to make sort of a name for myself a little bit. And these posters, you know, all of a sudden there'd be 300 of them and it'd be all over the city and all over telephone poles and windows. And they would disappear within a day. You know, people that take them down and hang them in their bathrooms and whatever, you know. Still a lot of these posters floating about in the world and stuff.
Oh, that's great. What year was that-ish?
That was probably around like 68 or so.
Right in the middle of it. Yeah. And what city were you in?
In Portland.
You came directly to Portland.
I came to Portland. I was married to an American whom I met in Amsterdam, mm-hmm. who was from Portland. Mm. And then we had two children. And then we moved, you know, excuse me. She wanted to see her parents, and I managed to get a green card, and I was married to an American, so it was easy. And then we moved here, and I got a part-time teaching position at the then Museum Art School.
Oh.
And in the mid-60s. And then I was going to be here for 2 years, and I was going to settle in Amsterdam and become, you know, a Dutch artist. That was my plan.
Oh, my goodness.
So, however, all this moving back and forth and all the turmoil of the time, and then after 2 years moving back to Holland, it put an enormous amount of strain on our relationship, and our relationship, you know, quickly deteriorated. It was a failed marriage. Mm-hmm. However, we had these two children, and I thought, well, I had sort of started this sort of adventurous kind of life here. I was allowed to come back here if I came back within a year. So we moved to Amsterdam, and then within the year moved back to the United States. and separated, but that also made it so I couldn't really go back to Holland because I had these two children, I had responsibilities and so on and so forth. And since I was young and had all this sort of boundless energy, I was also extremely adventurous. So in there, and I thought, well, if I work hard enough, I had done the Prix de Rome, I won the Portrait Prize of the Netherlands, I had commissioned.
This is while you were living here.
Well, when I was still in Holland, I was really an emerging artist in Amsterdam, and I was successful. And so I thought, well, if I work hard enough, you know, naively, if you work hard and you have talent, then you'll make it in America. I soon found out.
Where'd you read that? You read that somewhere.
That was a myth.
It
was a total myth. I was naive about it. But nonetheless, I did, you know, started making these posters at the time and got sort of involved in the turmoil of the period. And a lot of the students I had at the time were about my age. And so I sort of, you know, became friends with them. And so anyway, I started making these drawings, and they were kind of contemporary, and they looked sort of different than my work in Europe, and I just sort of related to this American experience out here. And
so did they remain politically oriented?
Well, they also became like more fantastical and more like experimental. Some of the posters were political, but and a lot of the drawings became really very free. And I started experimenting with how I could make drawings, how I could make sort of drawings. Started making automatic drawings, like making shapes and then turn them into figures. I published in the early 70s a book called Views of Mount Hood, which didn't have, you know, it had Mount Hood minuscule in the distance, and in front of it, it had all this extremely distorted kind of fantastical images in it, which caused like a great deal of controversy, quote-unquote.
Would you describe the work that's at the Royal Nebuka Gallery now as fantastical?
Well, to some extent, well, you know, there was a long period of time where I just became involved in galleries and I had to make a living and stuff, and actually the quote market actually suppresses creativity to a great extent. And so I found myself also making paintings which I could sell, and I actually do sell, and sometimes for a considerable amount of money. But at the same time, I felt like that it was really getting older. I should really get closer to my imagination and be freeing myself of the things which had become kind of habitual and go back to basically exploring what I used to do in the early 70s, is making these pen and ink drawings. And I started making these large drawings again, and that turned out to be extremely satisfying. So about 2-3 years ago, I got a bunch of paper and started doing again these large drawings as I used to do in the 70s. And at the same time, I also had this need as a painter to draw more color in them and draw more shadows and light and stuff. And so these drawings also became far more ambitious and much richer.
Yes,
and
yes.
Complex in terms of its drawing qualities.
So you gave a workshop yesterday up at the college, I should say Thursday. And what were you teaching the students?
Well, the class was sort of in connection to these drawings.
Yes.
Where I said, well, you know, they were also kind of blown away by these pen and ink drawings. So I thought, well, we'll give a class in pen and ink drawing.
Yeah.
Ink drawings. I never given a class like that ever.
Oh, really?
In fact, I don't really teach. I haven't taught since the 60s. So it's rare. It's really rarely I get the chance to actually teach a class.
How did it go?
I thoroughly enjoy it.
You did.
And then I thought, well, you know, the pen. So I told him, you can get a little pen and a little ink and then paper. See where we go. I had no idea, really. So
well, your drawings are so complex, so dense, so exciting, and I'm thinking, I would have been terrified if I'd sat in the class and you gave me a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil and said, do something.
To a point, you know. I mean, it's also, you know, it's taking a little pen and dipping it in a jar of ink and drawing a line, you know.
Okay.
And so how, what kind of pen do you use? And how do you dip the pen in it? And how do you draw that line?
Right.
And what can you do with it and stuff? And what's the simple method to kind of let your imagination go rather than I'm going to draw this plant or I'm going to draw this photograph or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, get away, rid of photographs and plants and all that and portraits and stuff and see what you come up with sort of out of your own, you know, and so don't be inhibited, don't be scared and all that. And, and make one of these kind of, you know, random kind of organic lines and shapes within a rectangle and look at that and turn them into a figure. Make sort of human being out of it.
Okay.
So give it a face and all of a sudden you got this amorphic figure.
How did it
in some sort of landscape and, you know, think about the space behind it so it's not something. I mean, you can do a lot without being particularly
an artist.
Yeah, but it made it, you know, playful and it sort of got people out of their, you know, habits and all that. And actually some of those drawings came out really surprisingly wonderful.
So you'll be back, I'm sure. That sounds like something that would be
Yeah, you know, I'm already sort of talking about it. I gave a last year I was in their Au Naturel exhibition where I won an award. And then I was, and I taught a workshop, I think, around there, like a figure painting workshop. And we were talking about maybe next year doing a watercolor. I'd make a big watercolor.
So let's jump over to that. And I want to hearken back to 2010 when you had a show at the college, but you also had a show at the Columbia River Maritime Museum, which
That's right.
Of our listeners, local listeners might remember. With, again, your paintings are often, when you talk about large drawings, I'm thinking of those paintings, which are what kind of dimensions?
Well, they vary in size, you know. Some of them aren't really that big, but, you know, the very large ones are like about 12 feet. In fact, I have made commissioned paintings which are up to like 20 feet for like like the Tillamook. In the Tillamook Force headquarters, for instance, in their main conference room, has a 6 by 18 foot view of the Kilsyth River, for instance. So that's a very large painting.
And you have one that's nowhere near that large, but it's big at the new medical facility in Astoria, which is, again, quite different from your...
Yeah.
The one at the Maritime Museum, I think we said, was the new Carissa. The painting at the medical facility is...
It's basically a landscape around about here around on the Young's Bay of like blooming Scotch broom, you know, and it's sort of inserted into the still life. There was kind of specifications to that commission because people sit there like where that painting is hanging. People sitting in front of radiation, waiting for that turn to be irradiated, and they sit in the little waiting room, and all they got to stare at is this painting. So you don't want to make a painting which, you know, say,
disturbing.
"Oh my God, I'm going to die," you know, or "Life is terrible and wars are coming," and "Oh my God." So you know, you want to have a painting which say, "Hey, I reckon that's here. That's that's our landscape and stuff, and the kind of painting
and rich
kind of
and luscious,
beautiful to look at, and not really kind of riddled with deep meaning and stuff, but just also beautifully painted and greatly colored and accessible, but also somewhat mysterious, so you can actually look at it and say, hey, I've been looking at this painting, and I never noticed that, or you get sort of tricked out in the light in it. You know, so that was more the thrust of it. Actually, I read an article about what kind of art functions well in hospitals.
So, question, do you have a preference in... terms of the drawings and the paintings at this point, or do you want to keep continuing to do both?
In the last period of time, I'm doing a fair amount of drawings and then transposing them into paintings. So a number of the drawings I've actually scaled up into large oil paintings. So there's a connection between moving the work forward and moving the ideas and the imagination forward and then projecting that into future paintings. So the whole body of work shifts a little bit from what it was before into a more imaginary, fantastical kind of place.
My guest is Hank Pander. He is an exhibit right now. It's at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery at Clatsop College, and it is up through November 30th. It's a joint show with Ghislaine Frimaux. Their work is quite different, and it makes for a very exciting and dynamic show. And for me, it was the first time seeing that kind of work from you, so that was interesting too. One almost needs to just stand there and study because there's so much going on in the work, which is...
Yeah, the drawing's about drawing, you know. The people, they get really wrapped up in the subject matter and the themes, which is really wonderful, but basically they are... There's so little fine drawing you see these days, and people are so, you know, unskilled in it in some ways. So it's also kind of promoting the art of drawing. They're classical drawings. They refer back to...
Right. They have that feel to
them.
Other
periods, and yeah. They are sort of, they move through time in a sense.
So is there a different dynamic happening for you when you're doing these different kinds of work? Because you talked about... getting back to the imagination, making sure it's still happening.
Yeah, well, you know, in some ways, you know, as the whole thrust about my work, since I've lived in America, I'm an immigrant. And basically, you know, I think I've assimilated fairly well, but I still look at this country as like I'm living in this huge superpower, which is utterly different from, you know, this highly civilized country of Holland, which is small and actually takes care of its people and is not always perpetually involved in warfare and enormous poverty and extremes and rich and poor and, you know, has this enormous technology and scares the living daylight out of people. On the other hand, a lot of people from all over the world want to live here too. There's kind of a tension about this place and its fastness of it and its tensions and its the drama of it. And its historical power, and the fact that I was a child during World War II, and if it weren't for the Americans, I would not be sitting here. So they've also saved our lives and, you know, and fought wars, you know, to liberate us from, you know, true evil. And so, you know, there's elements about the war, for instance, which are still lingering out here, which reflect back to my time. So there's also like Hanford of the, you know, where the first atomic bomb was invented in a sense. And other places which have to do with like the times when I was a child and these kind of things are happening. And there's still these remnants of that period, this imprints of these kind of wars imprinted in the landscape as well as they are imprinted in European landscape. That is fascinating to me. And it makes me kind of some... How does your life, you know, you live in a historical time if you're sensitive to it, and how does your life brush by these historical events, and how are you affected by that, you know, emotionally about like, you know, when this thing happened in New York and these buildings were flown in and all these people were murdered. That was not the Second World War anymore. That was an entirely different kind of phenomena. However, it causes incredible ruins and it affected our friends there and there are artists in it. There was, you know, the son of one of my a person I worked with was in one of these airplanes and was killed in it. So it was also extremely emotional and stuff. And so there's this sort of tension between historical events and my feelings about it and how it affects me. That process about being, you know, kind of having a kind of subjective feel about history painting, that element is really a line which has sort of run throughout my work over, you know, the last, you know, decades in a sense.
Well, there's so much more. I mean, we could go back and forward so much more. However, instead, I'm going to suggest folks might want to check out your website, which is henkpander.com. Couldn't be simpler, except you have to spell it correctly. HENKPANDER.com. And then for sure, before the 30th, check up at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery at Clatsop College and see the current work that's there and look forward to all the art that you're going to be bringing to Astoria and this region. You live in Portland. Mm-hmm. You're not that far away. You show work in Portland as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sure that will all be on the website. Yeah. Anything else you feel?
No, well, the only thing I want to say, you know, I have friends here in Astoria, and I really love Astoria. I just think it's just, sometimes I wish I lived here. It's just such a great place. I bring family here out of Holland.
Nice.
And they really like it here. It's just extremely beautiful, and people are nice here. I feel very, very comfortable in Astoria.
That's great.
I really love it.
Maybe it's best you keep visiting because you're our guest. You always get the good dream. Thank you so much for being here, Hank Pander. And till next time. Thanks. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Hank Pander, and you will check out his website. And even better, if you're in this area, you will go up to Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery at Clatsop College and see the show and enjoy. I'm putting on a little bit of music from Adam and Costello.
You're trying to break me, and I am unbroken. You're trying to make me, my will's unspoken. I got an army of tears in my...
They're a wonderful duo, and you can catch them tonight at Kala, right here in Astoria, 1017 Marine Drive. At 8 p.m. is the show. And tomorrow night they'll be at Sweet Basil's in Cannon Beach at 6 o'clock. Adams and Costello. While I've got you here, let me just let you know, because I do have more guests, and they are about to tell you about something fabulous happening. But tonight also is the beginning of the Manzanita Mystery Weekend with a horror film at Kimu. And today and tomorrow, Zoe and Dimitri Swain with Strange Fauna at the gallery till 5 at the Hoffman. And also Nevermore, mystery theme. And tomorrow, Ingrid Thoft is reading from Duplicity at 7. And at 10, she's doing a workshop, Mastering Murder. And Riverbend at NCRD in Halem. Vintage Hitchcock, it's the last weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tapa, Money Matters, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Barn Community Playhouse. Astoria Arts and Movement Center has their Contra Dance tonight. The Coaster is opening their Christmas Carol. It's the last of their 45th season, Friday and Saturday. And the Inferno tonight from 9 to 1, competing with Nobody, is having a DJ party with Joey Altruda, a Scorpio Zodiac party, but you don't have to be a Scorpio to go. The Liberty has a fabulous show tonight. The Tacoma Opera is giving us Carmen at 7 o'clock. Yes, Carmen. And, of course, the Flats are at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum at 5:30. And the Adrift has lots of music. The Columbia Theater in Longview, Seasons Cafe, Winecraft, all the local places, Sweet Basil's, the Bistro, Bridgewater Bistro, Urban, Supper Club, the Shelburne, they all give music all the time, folks. And tomorrow, the Sand Dune is featuring Brian Bovenizer and the New Old Stock. And the Stinking Badges, lovely name. And we're going to hear about the exciting one coming up in a second. The Southwester has all kinds of things going on, including dance workshops. And Petco Chris and Bloaf and the Blowfish. And the Cannon Beach Gallery is at 6 o'clock, has an opening for the miniatures show. And the gingerbread tea at the Butterfield Cottage is tomorrow. It's a benefit for the Seaside Museum. And Sunday, Fort Clatsop, a town called Seaside, and Fort George, five-letter word. That's a three-women band, go figure. And that's all I have time for because I have three live ones right here with me. And they are live today, and we're glad of that because one of them is not always so trustworthy. I'm not going to mention names, but I will tell you that Marcus Brown is here. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Carol.
What's your official title with Astor Street Opry Company?
Well, I'm the executive director of our little community theater here in town.
Not so little. I love it. It's terrific. I also have Dorothy Frace. Dorothy, hi. What do you have an official title?
I am currently a co-treasurer.
Okay. Then they don't trust you to be just the treasurer?
No, I am training the incoming treasurer right now, so I'm outbound.
I see. Okay.
It takes two to keep me from spending money.
I see. Hey, those new bathrooms, I'm forever in your debt. And the third person is Barbie England. Hi, Barbie.
Hi.
Hi. She's on the other side of the desk from me. That's where we're going to keep her. Barbie was in The Birds. She was on this show to talk about it, but I hadn't seen the play yet. Now I know. Anyway, the exciting thing that is happening tomorrow evening, and it starts at 5 o'clock, is the Astor Street Opry Company's annual auction and gala. Gala, however you want to pronounce it, you can vote on it. The main thing is to get there. It's at the Playhouse, which is 129 West Bond. And again, it starts at 5 o'clock, which is terrific, because if you have other plans for the evening, you can do it all. That's my plan. So tell us about this. Now, Marcus, how long have you been with the Astor Street Opry?
I've been playing with the Opry Company for about 15 years now.
Oh, so you've been there for all of these.
Yep, all of them.
These events.
I joined the board about 3 years ago after taking about an 8-year sabbatical, and we've been doing all sorts of growing and improving and reformatting, as you will.
Yeah, well, it's always exciting because we've watched the Astor Street Opry Company from the very beginning, some of us, and it's wonderful to see how it's grown and changed, and also how you honor your beginnings and history as well, which I think is very important to remember how that goes. Hi, Judy out there. So, Dorothy, are you taking part in tomorrow night's, what are we calling it?
The annual auction and gala.
That's the word on the auction block right now, folks. You get to vote. If you go, you get to vote as well.
Tell us we're wrong.
What are you going to be?
Well, I will be, I think, pouring beers and welcoming our visitors and encouraging lots of great bidding.
Okay, what are people bidding on? Anybody? It's open to anyone.
We have a bevy of fabulous items and experiences available tomorrow, including two full 3-credit classes at Clatsop Community College.
Oh, wow.
We have an hour plane ride with John Reichel. We have zip lines by Highline Adventure, a massage by Marco Davis, custom art pieces, and many gift certificates, including ones from Mossy Tech in Astoria. But there's going to be a bevy of things to bid on, silent auctions, live auctions. This is our annual major fundraising event, and we hopefully, it has been well attended over the years, and we're hoping, as this is the first time we've held it in our own home, because we now have, as you mentioned, indoor bathrooms, which are very lovely. Yes,
they're wonderful, folks. Mm-hmm. There are three of them.
We still have tickets available. It's $20 a person or $35 a couple. It includes some food items like hors d'oeuvres, and we have Fort George beer in the bar. There will be a live band performed by R.J. Marks, the Jazz Quartet, led by Dave Gager and John Orr and Joe Church, and R.J. Marks on the saxophone.
Wonderful.
As well as we're going to have some of our homegrown Olio acts. Olio.
Oh, really?
That spicy mixture of performing art. We'll have them performing as well.
So is it set up on the floor and then you'll have the acts up on the stage?
Yes, Yes,
ma'am. Is that what you're going to be doing?
Mm-hmm. There'll be silent auction items and baskets galore around the floor, and then on the stage will be the performers.
Okay. I have to give a big pat on the back to the Astor Street Opry Company, because whenever you have your performances, you have so much support from the community. You always auction off baskets, and I know those baskets, and you look through them, and they're people from all over the community who obviously appreciate Astor Street Opry for whatever reason, whether it's their kids or themselves or just having community theater alive and well. Barbie, how long have you been involved?
The Birds was actually my first foray with the Playhouse. I think auditions were in July. So
are you the one that it came across your desk and you saw it and you jumped on it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
And now you're hooked?
Now I'm hooked.
Oh, wonderful.
And now they'll have a hard time getting me out of there.
I think that will be just fine.
We try and lock them in early.
That's right.
We try to give you the nice people parts, too, sometimes. Not always.
I do have that side.
Yeah. So, you're having a live auction, too, is that
mm-hmm.
right?
We'll have Dita DeAngelis and Patricia Von Vintage will be there as our auctioneers. If you know them, you know it's going to be something.
Oh, yes.
That's going to be wonderful.
And I bet Dita will give us a tune. She's a fabulous singer.
She is wonderful. Yeah. She likes to keep us streaming until we get to the event, and whether that's going to happen or not. Dita, if you're listening anytime, would be good. You're absolutely right. The community has very, very wholeheartedly supported this community theater for over 30 years.
For over 30 years, mm-hmm. yeah. And I noticed that Scrooged in Astoria is opening soon.
Yes, thank you for saying that. Yeah. We do open on December 1st. Scrooged in Astoria is a combination of familiar Christmas lore and characters from our Shanghai show. Live music. We have a live pianist there and much, much, much to see. It's a wonderful
Vincent
Christmas show.
Is playing for you these days?
No, we have a new pianist, and she is reportedly brilliant. I haven't had a chance to meet her, but she's a last-minute addition to the show.
Wonderful.
Bill Carr is directing this year, and the wonderful, fabulous, and amazingly talented Chris Lynn Taylor has created the advertisements that go into the show that make it really quite special.
Well, I think that's just one of the many productions that you do. Of course, Shanghai in Astoria is mm-hmm. the main one in the summertime that goes on for like 14 months.
Mm.
And
then
Scrooge is December. But there are other plays happening mm-hmm. there as well, as we mentioned, Birds. The main thing is what's so valuable is offering theater to the children of mm-hmm. this community so that they learn about theater, not just stepping into parts. Mm-hmm. That's great, like Missoula, but this is everything. They see the real way theater works and people working together. So,
yes, we're producing Peter Pan this January. Last year we did Jungle Book, and that was an extraordinary production. And this year we're hoping for the same turnout. It is quite an experience. If you have little kids, we totally, totally recommend you get them involved. It is a lot of fun, and they grow so much in the roles. They learn something about theater and how to interact with others and how to stay in character.
It's a real discipline. At the same time, it's a lot of fun,
right.
And it's a lifelong love.
It is.
You have an example right here.
That's
because
right.
Barbie jumped right back in. And how about you, Dorothy? Have you ever been on stage?
Yes, I was actually in Scrooged a couple of years myself.
Okay.
Not this year.
Okay.
And I've been involved in other productions. Right now, I'm really enjoying helping out in the house,
mm-hmm.
but
good.
Hope to be on stage again.
Well, that's another wonderful aspect, is that everybody gets to switch around. We're out of time. Just remind you, tomorrow evening, 5 p.m. at 129 West Bond in Astoria. If you need more information, what's the website?
www.AstorStreetOpry.com.